readers, writers, and plot enthusiasts. I'm Ella.
And I'm Ellie. Welcome to our podcast, The Plot Thickens, where we talk about all things books, writing, and storylines.
Grab your favorite tea and settle in to listen every other week wherever you get your podcasts.
For the stories and the friends that shape us. Hey guys, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Ellie.
And I'm Ella.
And we're here today. I'm actually drinking water today, because today is a little bit more of an unfriendly episode.
I have kept with my vanilla chai, with my not a morning person cup, which might reflect itself in this episode. I'm not sure.
But we say that because today we're going to be doing a little bit different kind of episode. This is going to be a versus episode. So these episodes are when we have slightly different opinions about books. Just going to have a little friendly debate to see which opinion, or in this case, which books are better.
Which is always going to be mine.
And it's always going to be mine. She's lying. So today, what we're going to be discussing is Winnie the Pooh versus Wind in the Willows.
And clearly, Wind in the Willows will reign superior.
I personally think Winnie the Pooh's going to win, but we'll see. At the end of the episode, we're going to tell you guys how you can vote so we can see who won.
Alrighty. So I'll go first telling you why I personally think Wind in the Willows is the best children's book. So we start off with characters, okay? We have four main characters in this book. Really, like, three that are throughout most of the book, and then, like, one also that comes in near the end. But we have our main character, Mole. Delightful little Mole, lives in his little house. But is swept away in adventure when the water rat comes in. He's our next main character. He, also from the same little town, but full of wisdom and wants to go in on adventures, kind of that character. And then we have Mr. Toad, the anti-hero, the comic anti-hero of the story, who wants to go on an adventure, but maybe doesn't always have the wisdom to go on adventures. And then Badger, the wise badger in the woods, who's always there to give his friends advice and tell them what they should be doing. So the plot is just delightful. The main plot centers around all these characters going off and kind of all learning from each other. It's about the characters growing and becoming better animals through misadventures and friendship. Mole goes on, he doesn't want to leave his little home, but Water Rat convinces him, and he learns to value the outside world outside of his little home, but also to still value his cozy warmth of his home as well. He kind of learns that there's a balance in appreciating both the outside world as well as the small, simple things in life. And then Water Rat, similarly, but he wants the adventure and wants the solitary lifestyle, but kind of learns to appreciate the familiarity and the friendship he has in his home and around his town. And then Toad goes through the most character change. He goes from being ungrateful and kind of foolish to realizing how much he's taken for granted everything that he has, and appreciating the friendships that he has and the home he has and everything about his little place in the woods.
No, that's very true. Well, all Ella says may be true about Wind in the Willows. I have some differing opinions, but I will leave that till later. So Winnie the Pooh, obviously our characters, well-known and well-loved by so many. We have Winnie the Pooh, Christopher Robin, Tigger, Eeyore. Each character is unique and multifaceted, and they have such good character dynamics throughout the story. They play off each other really well. Their interactions are really important and have led many people to draw some important life lessons, including about how to treat mental illness and lessons about friendship, just incredible things that we've learned from each of the characters. What's amazing to me is that all these characters have really come alive in our minds and our imaginations. Like, there's not anybody out there who doesn't have such a clear, if they've read the book or seen the movies, have such a clear vision of who these characters are and, like, what they were meant to be, which is amazing. And as far as plot goes, part of what I really love about these stories is it's kind of like a collection of just that stories, like little adventures. So the books aren't necessarily a cohesive whole. What they are is more like poetic chapters, like snippets of the characters' lives, which is really fun. There's some songs interspersed in there. It would be the kind of book that's perfect to read aloud to like young children because they're short enough to be easily read in one sitting, but long enough to be enjoyed, and they have enough like sound effects and like vivid sensory details to be really interesting. So honestly, I feel like for plot, and each story does have a little plot, don't get me wrong, there is, who could ever forget the saga of Pooh hunting for Piglet in the rain, but they're all also, they have this like depth to them that is a bit more understated than the somewhat lengthy Wind in the Willows.
Oh. That is not true.
It's a little lengthy.
Save your critiques till later, Ellie. Save your critiques.
I'm sorry, you're talking about your book now. Okay.
I'm trying.
You better pick up on yours before okay. I go in. So then we're going to talk about themes in that are in the books, and also the nostalgia of the books, because that's ultimately why we both love our books so much. First of all, I think Wind in the Willows has superior themes, because... Mm. One, they're just very clear, like they're drawn out through the whole book. Every part of that book draws out the theme of how good friends can shape us and push us to be better, which is a really important lesson for any age group, but mm-hmm. especially young children, is seeing how friends are one, very, in the book, they're very encouraging of each other and they're very mm-hmm. helpful, but they're also very willing to confront Mr. Toad and be a good friend to him. And that changes him, and that shapes how the story goes, is how their friendships allow each other to change, and also can give them different perspective on things. They all start the story with very different perspectives on life and the story, and they all balance, when they become friends and talk to each other and interact in various different ways throughout the story, they all start to shape their different worldviews and kind of see how different perspectives can help them and grow them and change their views on things, but also can push them to be better. And yeah, they all just come together really nicely, and I think the characters, every single character in there really exemplifies the theme and really draws it out, which in a really nice way. And then nostalgia. Who doesn't love Wind in the Willows? Mm. It's one of the first, earliest memories I have of my mom reading a book to me is Wind in the Willows. It's a perfect children's book. It's the perfect length. Mm. You can read a different chapter every night. I'm giving perfect her the side length. Eye.
She is giving me intense side-eye right now. I'm sorry, some of us had more patience than other of us as children.
I, however, could handle the chapters in a book. But, mm-hmm. you know, apparently mm-hmm. Ellie couldn't, just saying.
It's a perfect length for children, in my opinion.
I never struggled at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just also one of the earliest books that kids can read on their own still. It's like... At the age range that is, it's really accessible to younger children, but it's still enjoyable for older audiences to read as well. So I think that kind of helps also, because parents are often reading to their kids. Mm-hmm. It's also the precursor to my Redwall phase that lasted for quite a while, so mm. I mean, you'll feel like it really shaped my reading habits for a long time. But yes, you can now argue your point.
Okay, I am... collecting my counterpoints as we speak, but I will hold on to those. I do appreciate, something I appreciate about both the books is just how safe they are for children, if that makes any sense. Like, just the way that these are both books that parents could just put into their kids' hands and, like, trust them to be able to, like, read them on their own is just something that I appreciate about both books. So
that's
I will
true.
Say that
that's
now.
True. It's very, both books are very, very good at capturing children's imaginations while mm-hmm. still, touching the heart and having a good theme. So yeah, I'll concede to that.
Okay. So now that we've got the niceness out of the way, as far as themes go for Winnie the Pooh, I love Winnie the Pooh so much, partly because each character kind of gets their own theme out of the story. A little bit like Emma was talking about with Wind in the Willows, but I feel like more pronounced because each character really has their own kind of pronounced struggle in the story. So for example, Piglet really struggles with fear throughout the story. So a lot of the stories are him just kind of learning to like overcome his fear. So each character really shows this like kind of universal theme about life through it. There's also so much we can learn about, like, the sweetness of friendship and just about being brave and, like, friends and like the dynamics there. And then also, there are some very humorous moments too. Like, really, Winnie the Pooh really brings this like gentle humor that parents will appreciate, and as kids, especially as they get older, will really appreciate too. And it's also really about using your imagination. I mean, the whole concept of Winnie the Pooh is it's this father telling these stories to his son about the adventures that his animals had, which is really funny because the author A.A. Milne really did have a son named Christopher Robin, who is the son in the story. And so it's really this really cool, it's like he literally wrote down word for word the stories he told his son. And it's just about the little adventures of the animals and just like using your imagination and like really enjoying like being a child and like the joy of childhood, which I think is really precious. And these books really definitely bring that back for me. I read these books so much as a kid. My mom actually bought or stole, I'm still a little bit unclear, rescued, let me clarify, some vintage editions from a library at her old school, which she used to teach.
I would just like to note that I don't think mine got stolen from anyone that I recall. Just saying, there was no thieving involved.
Oh my goodness. Vintage editions of Winnie the Pooh are worth stealing.
If you say so.
No, I don't recommend them.
You hear that? Ellie recommends stealing vintage editions of books.
I don't recommend. But if they are just left out to throw away, you know, they're worth rescuing. Anyways. Those books were like, I read those books so much as a kid, and really their poetic prose, which we'll get into later, and like the interspersing of the music and things, I think really also shaped the way I write even. Because even now I really lean on the poetic writing. I love descriptions. I love the vividness of words, like using words to convey a meaning in a really short space and like the challenge that can convey. And I really think these books just shaped the way I see that.
Yeah, I will say, both books have some odd similarities in the fact that Wind in the Willows was also a father writing these stories for his son as well. Which I do think shapes a lot of both books and makes them very enjoyable reads. I also think the writing style, they have different writing styles, but both are very whimsical, and I enjoy that. Wind in the Willows, I think it's a little bit more humorous. I think it does it a little bit more humorous way, which I enjoy. And as I think as an adult, you appreciate more the prose and the elegance of it. However, I think I still appreciate more the Wind in Willow's humor and just the humorous dialogue between characters, how he can make it very funny and very, like, laugh out loud, but it's still, but still have the theme in there and still say, yes, this is very funny, but obviously it's still, obviously it's still a character flaw, usually Mr. Toad. And so... It's important to have both of those things in there, and so I really enjoyed the charming whimsicalness of it, and also the feeling of, like, home. I feel like Wind in the Willows was such a home-centric kind of story. Like, in the end, they all come back into their home, and they learn to appreciate both their home, but also everyone else's home, and the larger world they lived in, but still just coming back to that sense of home, and the nostalgia of it, it's just, it's so awesome.
That's amazing to hear. I do have some more opinions. About Mr. Toad specifically, I will
Here
admit,
it comes.
I have never been a Mr. Toad fan, okay?
You're not supposed to be.
As a child, he was, no, I know I'm not supposed to be, but it was, I hated him enough that I hated the whole book because of it. Even as a child, I was reading it and I was like, how can he just do this kind of thing? And he really doesn't, like, come around. Like, he kind of does.
Hey.
He kind of does.
Okay. Okay, continue your critique, and then I shall prove you wrong.
Okay, sounds good. We're just gonna get into the critique now real quick. Mr. Toad, it's just, I feel like he has a little bit of a redemption, okay? It's a little bit there, because he ends up helping them in the end, right? I don't really remember the ending super well, so I'm sorry if I got that wrong. But he really never, like, he never, like, is truly sorry and then, like, moves on, if that makes sense.
That is actually not true. Mr. Toad, yes, he's a terrible character throughout most of the book, but that is intentional.
Yeah.
He is showing you how he has a good intentions, but he's very foolish, and he doesn't think of other people, and he doesn't think of even himself, really. He just thinks of what he wants. He's very, has no impulse control or whatever. And it's kind of drawn out, it's humorous, sure, but then you're also drawn out to realize, like, all the consequences. He has significant consequences throughout the book because of his foolish choices, and his friends also suffer those consequences because of his foolish choices. But that just goes to show, like, the importance of, he comes back around because he sees all of a sudden how much his friends have done for him, even when he was being foolish, even when he was doing against them. Yeah. And he sees, so he comes back to Toad Hall to see that Mole, sorry if I'm going to spoil the ending of here, he sees that Mole and Badger have been trying to protect his home while he's been off in a bout because he abandoned them. And he sees suddenly that, oh, I've been taking for granted the good friends that I've had, the good home that I've had, the home that I was supposed to protect. And he sees the value of that. So he goes back, he helps him. And then at the end, he then sends apologies to every person along the journey that he, like, wronged or that helped him.
Well, see, but correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like, doesn't he spiral into, like, some kind of deep depression afterwards? Like, I remember as a kid not really feeling like he moved on, like, he was sorry for everything that he'd done, if that makes sense, but he was, don't they call him, like, Sad Toad or something? He's a very sad, miserable toad.
I don't remember that.
And he just, like, and I felt like it was more making fun of the repentance process than it was, like,
it was making it humorous.
But I felt like, I don't know, I just felt like it needed a little bit more.
No, like, that's not true. That's not how that ended. No, they have, like, a nice little party. They all come together. And then they kind of show, like, yes, he's changed, and that, but even though he's changed and he has remorse, he eventually gets over that remorse, and then you see how his qualities from before that were causing him to get in trouble, like his loud, big personality, that can be a good thing, too. And so at the end, he kind of gives his little speech to everyone, and it's kind of, like, everyone's kind of like, oh, yes, we do still, because he does go through his whole phase of, everyone doesn't like me, because I'm this, and it's just so bad. But then he comes around to being, like, everyone else is like, no, we do like you for that. Mm. We appreciate that, but you, like, yes, it needs to be kept in check, and, like, you don't need to go gallivanting across in automobiles, but still, that loud personality can be good, too.
Okay, well, maybe that's helpful. I just remember as a child really just feeling like he just kind of became this sad, quiet person after everything, and then just, like, that was the end of it. Like, that was kind of what I got out of it, really.
I think you were mistaken. I think you have a poor memory of this book.
It could have been because it was so long, I just didn't read the ending.
Oh,
very
my
carefully.
Goodness.
Which I have looked up, like, it is 192 pages.
Yeah, but it's big font.
It's
a large
font.
There's pictures. There's pictures.
It's a children's book. What children's book is 192 pages?
It's teaching them patience. Something clearly you never learned.
I learned plenty of patience. I only had patience for good books. I'm like Little Women.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so if we were talking about critiques, I have some critiques.
Fine. Launch it.
Okay. One. The plot is very unclear.
That's the point.
No, it's not
the point. As a child, you're just confused.
No,
just
you're
like,
not.
What's
going on?
You're enjoying it.
You don't
it.
Know what's going on half
no.
the time.
So
it's just very ambiguous.
No, so here's the thing. Each little story has its own plot, but there's no real, like, overall plot. It's like a slice of life, except imagination and whimsy.
I get that. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's, you struggle to really feel like you're following a storyline. It's more like it's this world, and I enjoy it. But as someone who's a very plot-centric reader, I find it very hard to read something that's, like, very, doesn't have a plot, and you're just all of a sudden, you just feel like you're floating in this world. It's very nice, pleasant flow, but I feel like it doesn't leave lasting impressions.
I think it really does, because each individual story has its own elements. I think you can't just approach the book and expect it to, like, take you on a journey, like a journey, if that makes sense. Like, that's not the kind of, it's not the kind of book where you read where you're like, oh, and here's point A and here's point B, logical resolution, which I think is kind of fun because that's not really how life works either. Life is kind of more, here are things that happen, and maybe these things follow a logical pattern, but overall, when you reach the end, what matters is the people you were with along the way.
True. And I appreciate that meaning. I just don't think it's as accessible for, like, whole families to read together, because it's so poetic and so prosy.
See, I would argue,
for lack of a better word,
I would argue it's more accessible because it's less in length, so you can read a chapter at a time and still, like, enjoy the plot,
but,
like, of a single chapter without having to wait for years by going a chapter at a time in Wind
okay.
in the Willows.
Okay, no. Wind in the Willows, for one. 1 second. Let me pull it up. I have it up.
It's going to take
her
a second. It's going to take her so long. She's
no,
scroll
it's
up
not.
Through
no,
192 pages.
Fine.
No, she's not even going to make it. She's still scrolling.
It doesn't take...
It does take that long.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
I'm already at the top. It's only 7 chapters. You're telling me you couldn't read for
that's
7
not
chapters?
That's 7.
Yeah, it is.
Is that 7?
Yeah, that's 7. No,
that's
12. Right. It's only 12 chapters.
This version is 323 pages.
That's
because
it has pictures. That's because it has pictures.
No.
Okay.
Wait. I'd also like to say each chapter has its own individual story arc. Like, it's all individual story arcs, but they build up to this larger theme, this larger moment. So you can individually enjoy every single chapter on its own as an individual story.
Well, that's a little helpful. I did not enjoy each individual chapter on its own.
Well, yes, clearly you didn't get through the chapter.
I got through the chapters. I read through it once, and I never want to read it again.
And that's the glory of this book, because they can have individual stories, but each individual story is drawing out the theme more and more through each
mm-hmm.
story. And then when you finally reach the end, it kind of culminates and pulls them all back together. And you see how Mole has developed. And he wants to go back to his home. And he does go back, but he still, instead of hiding away in his home, he still comes out and he enjoys his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he enjoys the world around him.
Mm-hmm.
And Ratty, although he wants to go on adventure, he still enjoys adventure. He realizes he doesn't need to leave his home to have that adventure, and he can enjoy adventures with the people around him in the place that he loves. And Badger doesn't go this much character growth, but he still also realizes that it's worth being friends with the people around him, and he doesn't need to hide away in the woods. And Toad obviously goes through the most change, but he's like, I don't need to go off gallivanting after every whim. There's value in what I have here, and there's value in what I've been blessed with right here where I'm at and people around.
See, I feel like in Winnie the Pooh too, though, each of them have like their own theme that kind of ends at the end. There's just not a defining moment where you see them, all the themes come together. Unless you count at the very end of Winnie the Pooh, where they're all talking about how Christopher Robin is going away to school. And that's kind of just like the end, where they're just talking about how even though he's going to be gone, the friendships that they build are going to last. And I feel like that's just a precious, like, it was about the people, not necessarily what was happening, if that makes sense.
That's true.
Changed.
I do like that. And I'm realizing more and more that we talk about this. Both of these books are very clearly shaped to the way we write.
Yeah.
Because I'm a very plot-forward. I love how everything culminates towards one theme and one goal.
Yeah.
And how all the characters draw up to that same theme, that same goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm definitely realizing more and more.
Yes.
The way we write must have been very shaped by these books.
Yes. And I love the poetry. I love each character being, like, their own individual. And, like, I love them learning the same theme, but also in, like, different ways. And, like, experiencing it through different mediums. So, I don't know. I guess be careful what books you read your children, because those are the books your children will end up writing one day.
Yeah, that's true. You know? Watch out for that.
My goodness. Well, since we've gone through critiques, is it time for our closing statements?
I guess so. Yeah. Our closing statements.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a closing statement?
I do have a closing statement.
Okay, you do your closing statement first.
Okay. So obviously, I think Winnie the Pooh is the best children's book. I would like to say now, though, that I may go back and read Wind in the Willows after talking about this. Just to, like, read. Just to get a feel for it. But I still think Winnie the Pooh is the best. Well, Wind in the Willows may be a classic. It's Winnie the Pooh that has truly shaped lives and hearts of children for generations, teaching them about friendship and love and loyalty and just the beauty and power of imagination. Those characters have come alive in so many children's minds, and I think there isn't a person who's read or heard them that hasn't had an impact, which I think is something that really shows what the book has done. And this leaves Winnie the Pooh as the unquestioned champion.
I, on the other hand, believe that Wind in the Willows is the best children's book. One, because it draws together both a well-written plot, a well-written prose, but also the themes that really, like, shape children's lives. It has a central theme that really, like, stays in your mind. Any kid that's read Wind in the Willows, no matter how young, will remember the theme. Like, the theme is so obviously shaped through each character, through each, like, plot, through each story, in even all the way to the end. And I don't think you can ever leave that book without having a clear picture of the value of friendship, which is such an important thing for children to have. And although I do concede that Winnie the Pooh definitely has good characteristics and has definitely made a big impact culturally. I also think many people know Winnie the Pooh and has never read or watched Winnie the Pooh. Like,
many people.
I would say many people.
I don't know about that one.
I think we've taken a slight poll before this.
No.
I've asked a few people, and everyone I've asked knows Winnie the Pooh, sure, but none of them have ever read Winnie the Pooh. And do I think they're missing out? Absolutely. I would still say they should read Winnie the Pooh. I just don't think it's the best.
See, I honestly feel like not very many people know Wendy the Willows anymore.
But the people who read it will never forget it.
I don't know if I could say that. That's clearly true. I've forgotten a few things.
Well, clearly the patient readers actually read the entire book.
I couldn't take it. Oh my goodness.
And it's just it draws the whole family together. It draws all these points together. And I just think it makes a really compelling story that will leave a lasting impact in your children's lives. And it's just the best. What else to say? The setting is amazing also.
The setting is we didn't even talk about the setting.
Real quick.
The 100-acre woods is fantastic. The little signs, the houses everywhere, there are pen sketches throughout. It is beautiful. Nobody who's read Winnie the Pooh hasn't wanted to go visit the 100-acre wood.
I just love how Winds in the Willows, I feel like it's just such an imaginative world that you truly believe anything could be going on in this world. Like, it feels so expansive. There's this world beyond that they don't even see, and I love that feel that, like, this is a world that people live in.
See, I feel like that confused me, though, because at the beginning there were all the animals, and then Toad just steals a car from, like, two people, presumably?
Yeah, there's people and there's animals. That's what I loved about it, though. It's so imaginative and, like, childlike, because that's how, like, I feel like you view things as a child. You're like, there's talking animals, but also there's people. Yeah, why would that make a difference?
That didn't make sense to me as a child, I'll be honest.
Well, some of us lack imagination, what can I say?
Wait, your story is talking animals and people in it too. You liar. Christopher Robbins is a person.
But it says stuffed animals. That made sense.
That doesn't make more sense than
it made
that.
More
that
sense.
That does not make more sense.
It made more sense than 75% into the book, they're just being two humans.
That just makes sense.
It's like the expansive world that they live in, though.
No, because
there's
like
all these like social things going on around them, but it's also like there's this sense of homes from where they're from. It's just great.
Okay, I do love. I think it's pretty. The descriptions of the river were pretty.
The river is
very
pretty.
I loved those.
The entrance to the story is so whimsical. It's just mole spring cleaning and then going on a little adventure down the woods.
But it's just. I feel like the people, the sudden entrance in the end just threw me a little bit. Because I was really like, okay, this is a world kind of like, oh goodness, why am
How
I forgetting this?
How old were you when you read
Green
this book?
Ember. Can't have been more than 8.
Oh, you were too old, clearly.
No, eight was probably the cutoff.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was either 8 or under.
I'm surprised you thought of this. I don't remember ever occurring to me that that was wrong.
I just thought that was so weird. I was like, why are there people just, like, appeared?
Again, you're Winnie the Pooh centers around a person talking to its stuffed animals.
But throughout the story, like, you know that's what it is. Like, it just makes sense. Like,
yeah,
it's not just suddenly, like, popping in.
Does it make more sense than this?
It does.
No, it
doesn't. Yeah, it really does.
That just doesn't make more sense.
I think we should just let the listeners decide.
Okay.
We'll let the listeners decide. Yes, if you're on Spotify, you can go ahead and vote in the show notes because we're going to figure out how to put a poll in the show notes.
We are going to figure that out.
So we can see who won.
And I would just like to say, don't vote for something you haven't read.
I think they can definitely vote for things they haven't read because otherwise you won't get any votes.
Oh! Says you! No one's ever read Winnie the Pooh, okay?
No one's ever even heard of Winnie the Willows.
Plenty of people have heard of Winnie the
Willows. Well, now they have.
It is a classic. It is a Kenneth Graham classic.
Oh my goodness.
Everyone knows.
No, I don't think so. Go ahead and vote, even if you haven't read. Just vote on the one you would read now that you've listened to this episode. Which I think I would read Winnie the Willows after listening to this.
Okay.
I did a good job.
I would also read Winnie and the Pooh.
Okay.
Not Winnie the Pooh.
Let's just match the two.
Yes.
Come up with, I mean, Winnie the Pooh, the what's it called? The publication or copyrights.
Winnie and the Willows.
Winnie and the Willows. We could just write
Winnie
and
the Willows.
On that note, thank you guys so much for listening. Tune in next time as we go back to our regular episode format.
Yes.
Have a good rest of your day.